This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is BFM 89.9. It is the 10th of May, 7:05 in the morning. I'm Khoo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Xiaoning and Philip C. Now, in about 15 minutes, we'll talk about the plantation ministry looking to lift the current foreign labour hiring freeze with Kor Yew Ling, the political economist at Sergi Enam Advisors. But before that, let's take a look at how markets closed on Friday.
Yep, so on Friday, US markets closed positive. The Dow and S&P were up 0.7%, and Nasdaq also closed up 0.9%. But over in Asia, it was a mixed picture. The Nikkei was up marginally at 0.09%. Shanghai Composite down 0.7%. Hang Seng also down marginally 0.09%. But back home, FBN KLCI up 0.6%, and our neighbor Singapore up 0.9%.
Of course, in America as well, the Dow and S&P closed up nearly 1% and the Nasdaq goes up by almost as much by nearly 1%. To expand on this, we've got on the line with us Kingsley Jones, the Chief Investment Officer for Jevons Global. Kingsley, now about a month ago, the markets were talking about a Goldilocks scenario for equities, but with increased uncertainty over the recovery outside of the US, is this situation becoming more bearish?
Well, the general recovery looks pretty good to us, but I think we need to identify that some sectors are doing better than others. So the service economy is still relatively weak, but manufacturing strong. So this has been a really goods-led recovery. And where you have solid demand, you've got rising pricing power. And we've seen that in the commodity complex with steel prices being firm, iron ore and copper also. So the circumstances we have now coming out of a recession are actually pretty bullish, we think. But we haven't seen this sort of emphasis on manufacturing for a long time. And indeed, the commodity cycle is very reminiscent of 2003, 2004. So we think, therefore, that there'll be some rotation. Not all sectors are going to do great, but generally the economy is looking pretty good to us.
But US jobs data that was released recently was very disappointing, only a quarter of what the street was expecting. Is this a function of the dual speed where services is basically not moving fast enough? And as a result, is the pace of recovery slowing then?
Yes, I think that's it in a nutshell. If you look into Europe, for example, the German numbers continue to be very strong, and that's reflecting the sense in which the European economy is much more manufacturing oriented than is the US. And of course, China is indeed more again. So I think what we're seeing here is the US is lagging because that service recovery is not as strong. And that reflects a mixed effect. They don't have as strong an economy in manufacturing.
Now, Kingsley, most companies in Asia Pacific have resumed or increased dividend payments this year compared to, of course, last year. So I just want to know your investment strategy. Are you looking more at dividend or growth stocks this year?
I think really it's the combination. What we're looking for is dividend growth. So that could obviously happen with a classic growth stock where the earnings compound over time. And, you know, if they're still paying out a constant amount of profits, you'll see dividend growth. And that's stocks like Microsoft and Apple, for example, which we continue to own. But elsewhere, I think what's really interesting is where you're seeing a restoration of dividends where formerly they were cut as the economy recovers. And the Australian banks, the retail banks, are really standouts for that. And across the board, you're seeing the big majors in Australia increase the dividend payouts. And we also like companies elsewhere around the world, financials, like, for example, in Singapore, Singaporean banks doing well, and also the US banks. So I think it's really a mix of the two. You want to look for some growth, but you also want to look for recovery in earnings and profits.
Yeah, Kingsley, talked about Australia. Now, they've hinted that international borders will not open till late 2022. This will put further stress on the tourism and aviation sector. So in your opinion, will the $1.2 billion government rescue package be enough to keep the sector afloat?
I think it's hard to tell at this stage because we're still very uncertain about when exactly borders will open. A lot of that depends on the progress with the Australian vaccination program and also what's happening elsewhere around the world. So, look, I think the government has put that $1.2 billion in because some support's needed. Whether it will be enough, we'll just have to wait and see. And I think that the government, likely as not, is holding back some of their anticipated support because it'll be an election year next year. And a lot of the tourism areas, the electorates that have high exposure to tourism are in places like Queensland and West Australia, where it'll be a close-run battle in the coming federal election.
So if you were to put money in Australia, would it still be in the financial sector, which you mentioned, of course, earlier? Or would it now? Would you now consider the commodity space, considering there's a super commodity cycle, which some say is beginning to emerge?
We have our biggest exposure in commodities in terms of those two sectors. But the Australian banks are making a good recovery. I think elsewhere in finance in Australia, we also have positions in companies like QBE Insurance. The insurance sector had a very tough decade, but now margins seem to be improving. And once we got through the COVID period where there were some unforeseen claims relating to business continuity, I think, in fact, those companies are turning around and their outlook is looking brighter.
Now, another sector where we're seeing a lot of news is actually the property sector, where you know prices have really skyrocketed. Is there any way to play this from a stock perspective?
Primarily through, I think, higher mortgage lending through the banks. You'll also see some of the fintechs coming to market. I believe Pepper's looking to float, and they have a growing mortgage book. Elsewhere, you know, there are the advertising sites like Real Estate Australia and companies like that. But I think the other factor to bear in mind is that when you see rising house prices, generally in Australia, that's good for consumer sentiment. So we think spending will remain strong, notwithstanding some of the warnings coming out of the grocers that people might have full pantries. But we think they'll still do a lot of home improvement. That's Bunnings through Wesfarmers. Mm. And also home goods like furnishings and the like, and TVs. And for that reason, we like JB Hi-Fi.
And just shift our attention to cryptocurrencies, because Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey has warned that those investing in cryptocurrencies should be prepared to lose all their money. So is the demand for cryptos growing in Australian institutions?
Certainly there have been some institutions in Australia that have, shared their interest in crypto and also the extent to which they're investing in it. It's not something that we ourselves are doing. But what I would point out is that I think those remarks from the BOE governor are really reflecting some of the unknowns here. A lot of this demand for crypto is following price. The actual usage of cryptos in the payment system is still limited. So I think that this present rally is starting to look a little tired. And because the volatility is so high, above, say, 70% per annum, I think a lot of those investors and institutions that were running bond portfolios with a currency mandate, they'll probably start to taper their interest now, because nobody wants to see big losses in those portfolios. That's not really what you pay a bond investor to do.
Right, Kingsley, thanks so much for your time. That was Kingsley Jones, the Chief Investment Officer for Jevons Global. I mean, just takeaways from his conversation, then the whole financial sector, the return of dividend payments, and of course, Maybank had their AGM some days ago. I think this whole reflation theme will be best manifested, whether it's property purchase, whether it's purchase of cars, as sentiment improves. You know, the banks are the first line of recovery. And
barometer of general economy, right? Always seen
correct,
as one.
Proxies, and thereafter dividend growth.
Yeah, I saw this recent article in the FT that banks are actually worried that loan growth is not going fast enough as cash. Mm. And they're trying to move people away.
In fact, they've rejected cash deposits, I think JP Morgan
exactly.
In the US, right? Because they don't know what to do with their money.
Yeah, but so, I mean, it just seems counterintuitive, because you're penalized for holding cash and time deposits, right? It pays nothing. Inflation travels faster than cash.
So, i.e., that's why markets still continue to go up and every asset class is booming, because money needs a home.
Yeah, the other thing they talked about was this whole cryptocurrency thing. And I just want to talk about Doge, right? Dogecoin is the third big whole idea behind Bitcoin. Then after that, Ether. Then now Doge is like 12,000% up on the year, right?
Although yesterday it went down 25%.
It did, right? So it's still only 58 cents. And people think, it's such a scream buy. It's not, right? Because Doge, unlike Bitcoin, has unlimited, infinite supply. It sits right now, the supply is 130 billion Doges out there.
But
it's,
I still dodgy, don't man. Understand how to value it. I mean, I keep coming back to this question, and I've asked multiple commentators we've had on BFM. And, you know, they all say, okay, it's here to stay. I agree, it's here to stay. But how do you value it? Because it has no intrinsic value. Is it just down to demand and supply?
In large part, I think, in large part. And you know that you have to understand there is some technology application.
Yes, I think you value the technology.
Some systems based on that, right.
Yes, yeah. But how much is it worth, this blockchain technology? That's the big question, right?
Well,
it depends also then how mainstream it becomes.
That's right. I think that's why regulators are really taking a tougher stance on cryptocurrency operations. You're not seeing it only in the US, but also in Europe, because in Germany, regulators are taking on the crypto exchange Binance for offering tokens meant to mimic US stocks.
I think even the Monetary Authority of Singapore has kind of given some warnings with regards to it. Because, you know, what goes up so fast can also potentially come down, if not faster.
And it takes Elon Musk on SNL to just shave off one quarter of value of Dogecoin.
There's something intrinsically wrong about that. But of course, as you say, Wong, money has to find a home. And sometimes that home ends up homeless.
For the moment.
7:17 in the morning, we'll come back after this with Ko Yu Ling, the political economist at Sergi Enam Advisors. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.